One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Ramble.
I tried to copy my brother in every sort of way when I was young, just because I thought everything he did was cool. And he would listen to a ton of NoFX.
The band The Offspring. They were just like angry suburban kid, teenager music. That was for me just the moment of like, yeah, I'm mad at my suburban life too. Ha ha ha.
Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
When you learn about the making of it, it is freaking insane. Everyone's just sleeping with each other and they're all writing these shit-talking songs about each other and they all become crazy famous for it and then have to sing it for 40 years. What was that one band you wanted me to listen to?
Fergie.
It's not Fergie, never Fergie.
Fergie, the woman that peed herself on stage?
If you're gonna make fun of a woman, at least make fun of her for her terrible music.
Okay. Yeah, an experiment in the frozen wastes of Antarctica has revealed evidence of a universe born in the same Big Bang as ours, but with the rules of physics that are completely the opposite.
Or it's just the upside down?
Is that literally just... Did you just watch Stranger Things?
Oh, damn it. You figured it out. This is all a paid opportunity for Stranger Things 4. That's right, guys. We have the exclusive announcement that Stranger Things 4 is coming back with Millie Twerky Brown and Big Mike the Brown. The
Tyson.
Brown, Tyson.
What? I guess God. I missed this last season.
You should have seen what happened. Wait till you see what happens to Winona Ryder and the sheriff.
How did they find evidence of this in Antarctica?
Yeah.
I think someone just kind of lost their
paraphrased,
mind.
You paraphrased the first thing you said and you were like, there you go. Like, what's the evidence?
Low energy particles, neutrinos, can pass completely through the Earth.
You know what neutrinos do, dude.
Yes, everybody knows about neutrinos. They use cleaning products to catch them in bunkers underneath the ground.
They're my favorite kind of pizza roll. Please continue.
But higher energy objects are stopped by the reassuringly solid matter of the Earth. That means that high energy particles can only be detected coming down from outer space.
Yes.
To detect a heavier particle, a tau neutrino, coming up out of Earth would imply that these particles are actually traveling backwards in time.
Oh, well, that's okay. The unfortunate thing is, like, titles for scientific articles are so clickbaity. Whenever they're posted on Twitter, it's just like, new Earth discovered. And you're like, whoa. And, like, you know, that's probably not quite the situation, but you click on it anyway. But the problem is it does get so in depth and they try to dumb it down, but it's such high concept stuff. You can't even quite get the gist of what they're trying to say.
Well, so and the issue sort of is like the first articles that come out say they might have found evidence of a parallel universe, but then you scroll further down on Twitter where the clickbait gets worse and they're like, NASA found a parallel universe and we're basically there.
Right. Yeah. And then Joe Rogan sees that one is like, do you hear about this? That like basically Earth is no longer Earth?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's all,
dude.
You know what? And it's all because of the Clintons.
Sorry. Yeah, you got it. You got him there being like, yeah, so basically some guy found that Sasquatch. They're still alive. Jamie, can you pull that? Jamie, where was that video that we saw? Where was that?
Then he just sparks up again.
He just lights up.
He's an interesting guy to listen to, but it's amazing how we've all sort of bought into just like, this dude's just like having like high college student conversation of like, what if us isn't really us? And then people are like, yes, millions of views.
I figured out his formula. He just yes ands whoever's on his show.
Oh yeah.
That's all he does. That's all he does. If he has like a physicist there, it's really cool. But then he'll have like some surfer stoner who's like, aliens are real. And he'll be like, yeah, man, that's
crazy, dude. It's crazy. And it's crazy stuff.
Obviously, this won't be new news, but he just signed a $100 million deal with Spotify.
Oh my God.
Good for them.
So Spotify's getting old Joe Rogan exclusive.
You never really know how people's careers are going to go. Because I remember when he was the host of Fear Factor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just being like, he was another host on TV. And now it's weird.
And then to UFC. And then I started seeing him do stand-up. And I was like, oh, that's actually how I mostly discovered him. I was like, oh, this dude's stand-up's actually kind of funny. Don't agree with everything he says, but I actually dig this stand-up. And then it was like, yeah, surprise, he has a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing podcasting before.
He was one of the first
people.
He was one of the first, really? Right?
Yeah. He was one of, like, I think he came in, like, I don't know, the first or second wave of, like, podcasting before it became what it is today, where everyone has a podcast. He kind of saw the power of being able to just broadcast your thoughts out to people without any sort of censor. Yeah. And obviously nowadays we've seen what happens when you have that kind of power.
Well, maybe that's why he's been so untouchable in a way, is because he's been establishing who he is from the very beginning of podcasts. Right. So no one's surprised enough to be like, I can't believe he thinks that. It's like, you know, he thinks that. He said it for a decade.
Yeah. And that's why we should use our power to espouse our beliefs of the top five albums or artists that influenced us.
Segway, eat fresh.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, go. Yeah. So I'll just take this for a second and then hand it right back.
Don't worry about it. You can keep it.
No, I'd really rather not. So yeah, we were pitching around podcast ideas for this week, and I think we all have a lot of fun doing the top five stuff. We can't make that the whole podcast all the time, but I was like, what else can we do? So my thought was top five artists and albums that shaped us. It's not necessarily favorite. It could be if you want it to be, but in my mind, it's more like, this is an album that I associate with this time in my life, and I love it for this. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. So we're just going to run that down. Obviously, we have to be a little bit careful about, you know, what we sing and hum and all that stuff. So maybe have that old music streaming app up next to you while we talk about it and just get a little taste.
So who wants to start us off at number five? Wait, sorry, I could do it better. Number five. No, wait, no, that's not right. Number five.
I can get us started if you want.
Yeah, okay. Do it, Damien.
Little fun fact about me. I don't listen to music that much. I have a few specific things that I like to listen but I will get attached to one song and listen to it on repeat until I hate it. And that's just how I'm wired. I appreciate music. I like it. But I'm never like, oh, the new album from this person is here. Can't wait. So that said, when I was a youngster, I'm going back to like 7, maybe 8 years old, there were two CDs that I listened to while playing video games, while on car trips, just front to back, whole CD. And those two are the self-titled albums from Eiffel 65.
Oh,
and the Backstreet Boys.
Wow.
So Backstreet Boys, obviously, top pop artists of the day.
Wait, which album from Backstreet Boys?
The self-titled, just the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. That was like their first big hit.
Their first one. Their first one, which I think is the best, except for maybe Black
Before
and Blue.
Backstreet Boys were back, all right.
Yeah, that's millennium, my dude. We're talking pre-millennium.
got it.
I think
that's got Tearing Up My Heart, right?
Yes, exactly.
No, that's NSYNC. I'm sorry.
You're killing me, Smalls. I think my parents had ordered from one of those things where it's like, sign up for this music service and you get 14 free CDs right off the bat. And then each month, like, I think it was that kind of deal. So that's when I got to pick out my first batch of CDs. So that was in there. And then Eiffel 65. For those that don't know, Eiffel 65 is the one that does like the blue daba dee kind of song, but the rest of their music, bangers, all of them. They are like electro dance music before that was a super popular thing. It was my introduction to like techno. They had a song about PlayStation. They had a song about hyperlinks and all that. It was very like computery, and I love this girl. She's made of silicone, this robot girl. Like, I made that up, but it was just so
We're still
good.
Gonna get sued by them.
Oh, like, good.
Actually, that's our unreleased song.
For them to sue us, they would have to emerge from whatever depths they crawled into after their second album. No, it's not called Eiffel 65. It's called Europop. Yeah, they made one more CD after that and then faded into obscurity. So
they were huge, man. Blue, I remember that music video for Blue. And back in the day, you were like, this is awesome. And yep. now you look back and you're like, this is garbage.
it was and is garbage, yes, but like the music still weirdly holds up. It's like atmospheric. Mm-hmm. There's a song about like aliens and like the kind of sounds they did in the background made you sort of feel like you were just hovering in space. Like I would doze off and listen to that as our family drove to our yearly like spring break trip. So I don't know. I just have good memories.
It's funny that we talk about like how they had this big hit and then faded into obscurity, like it's a bad thing. Because like that seems to always be our natural reactions to say like, oh man, they had this big hit and then they're just, no one ever heard of them. They're losers. But yeah. they're like, my friend brought up a point that I keep thinking about now. What's wrong with that?
That's
like,
true.
What's wrong with achieving some sort of success and then mediocrity?
Like. Or maybe it's a chosen mediocrity, too. Like, not everybody wants to be in the limelight forever. Fetty Wap, biggest thing a couple years ago, and now Fetty Wap hasn't put out anything in forever.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But maybe the guy just grabbed the bag and went and lived a great life.
Because that's what everyone... Because I feel like that's what everyone says. They're like, oh, man, I'm going to make $5 million, then I'm just going to retire to the beach. A lot of people, they find that success intoxicating and whatever it is that they're chasing, that like whenever they reach that level, there's always another level that they can reach.
Yeah.
And they're never truly happy. So for the people that manage to say, no, I achieved what I wanted to achieve, and now I'm going to move on to a different part of my life.
Yeah, that's
right.
Like that's, you got to respect that.
And it does sort of bring up how we view success, too, because it's like, you know, looking way back, you would never be like, what did he do after painting the Sistine Chapel? You know, it's like, it's OK to have a top thing. You're going to have eventually you're going to have your top best thing. So that's me. Backstreet Boys, Level 65. Backstreet Boys are still around.
Shane, number five.
Ian, were we all there when we or no. That was seeing Backstreet Boys in Las Vegas.
I was not there.
Oh, we were not invited, Shane.
Oh.
Yeah, this is Sarah's birthday party or whatever.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was invited to that.
We were not invited to that, Shane.
Well, it
But go
was,
on. Please do. Go on
it was
about this amazing
awesome.
Trip.
It was the best birthday party I've ever been to in my entire life. Backstreet Boys slapped, man. I did not expect to see them live. It was dope.
Was that the same? Because Grace Helbig was there, right?
Yes.
And I think she was recording these people that were like, were they sleeping next to you guys?
Maybe. Or yeah, I think some people
it was like
were
the big. It was like a Backstreet Boys concert, like a huge show with Backstreet Boys. And these people next, I'm guessing they probably got tickets comped by the hotel or whatever, but they did not seem to care at all about where they were.
Yeah, no, they did not. And I have to admit, I'm more of an NSYNC fan myself.
Oh,
that's all right. I know you're a basic bitch.
We turn into K-pop stans over these bands.
Yeah,
that's fine. Oh, I know you're a freaking loser.
That's great. I'm going to try to destroy your career because I disagree with you, but sure. Also, just a heads up, I have been sleeping very poorly. I'm a cranky boy today, so I'm sorry. You're going to get some crank, Damien.
Dark Damien.
This ain't Dark Damien. This is just pissed off and sleepy.
Crank yankers, Damien.
Cranker sore. Somebody say your number five before I lose my goddamn mind.
Ian, number you go ahead because I'm actually still... Ian, do you know your number five? Because I don't.
Yeah. This was a band and an album that I feel like defined an entire generation. The year was, I believe, 2000?
I know what this is.
Do you have a guess?
I think it's Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte had like one song.
Yeah, but they released a black album and a white album.
Nah, think about a more successful.
I don't know.
Think about a band that took a genre that was coming into the fold, but then also added more to it.
Nickelback.
Go fuck yourself. But Nickelback did have some bangers.
A genre that was dying.
All right, I'll just no. It wasn't dying. It was coming into. Let me give another hint. Nu metal was becoming a thing.
Boys to Men.
Nu metal. Is this like Slipknot?
It's
the Foo Fighters.
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park. That's great. Yeah,
they came into the scene with Hybrid Theory.
That's true.
And blew shit up.
See, I was young enough that Linkin Park it felt like they were just always huge.
Yeah.
Like by the time I was old enough to be listening to that type of music, everyone just already knew who they were, and it was already the biggest thing.
Because I was listening to, like, I don't know, like rap, like hip hop.
God, you're
stuff
cool.
when I was a kid. But then I feel like I feel like Linkin Park is what, like, switched it for me. Like, I was listening to rock, of course. I mean, I was just listening to whatever was on the radio. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was like Linkin Park where I was like, ooh, I'm a fan of this. Like, I really feel this music.
Hybrid but Theory was great. I remember
it was great, man.
People perform it for our elementary school talent show.
Did they have, like, a record scratch thing too? Like,
oh no, I'm talking elementary school children. They just played the track while, like, three friends tried to pretend that they coordinated and be like, no, you gotta come over here and we're don't know why. It doesn't know.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
So yeah, that Linkin Park Hybrid Theory, it changed the world.
Nice.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So my list is very, it's tough. I'm similar to Damien. I'll listen to a song a bunch until I get sick of it. But I have gone through phases where specific artists are my clear favorite and I'm listening to them a lot. Now this list I could move up and down all over the place. So I'm just going to be saying these are all in the top five. I'm going to go ahead with this one at number five. Got to give it to Amy Winehouse. I mean, when I first started hearing her music, it was, and I mean, she became huge because there was simply nothing like it. It was so, that album, Back to Black is unbelievable. And her album before that is really good too, but Back to Black was what obviously launched it. And, like, there was just every song on that album is a hit and is still played a lot. Like, that's just, and it's still timeless. Like, it works just as well now as it did back then. And it sucks. That's, you know, it sucks we didn't get more music from her, tragically, but that album was unbelievable. And I'm still a huge fan.
Amy Winehouse is a good example of an artist that, like, sometimes you know that they're just not for you, but you can still just respect the hell out of them and be like, this is really good. Like, I'm never ever gonna sit down and just be like, oh, I'm gonna listen to some Amy Winehouse today, but, like, I know for a fact she was, like, a tour de force just in what she made.
I wonder if I can get away with this, but I can't help but attempt it every time when she goes, I'm gonna lose my baby. Like, I just always want to give it a shot. We'll have to cut that, whatever.
Do we really, like, haven't copyright things eased up a little bit and they actually have to go in now? Like,
Amy Winehouse, I never got to really listen to, because I again, radio, that's all I was listening to at the time. And I never bought her album. So I heard Rehab obviously
over and over and over and over and over again.
And I was just kind of like, whatever. And then I watched the Amy documentary and I was like, heartbroken.
I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
So good.
It's probably devastating.
You really understand, like, she was like a true artist.
Oh yeah. She was legendary, but she was so tormented. I just remember it's really tragic looking back. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knew that she was, like, everyone, like, when the news came that she died, I don't feel like anyone was, like, shocked. Like, we were all watching, were watching this person die. You would see tabloid photos of her and it was just like, oh, she looks closer to death now. Like, it was so sad. It was so sad to watch this. Everyone acknowledged, like, oh, she's one of the best with one album. She is one of the best artists ever. And we're acknowledging she's never going to make another album.
Yeah. That was, like, legit what I was going to say. It was a very weird social shared experience to, like, know that this was happening and to, like, see it happening all at once and know that you're kind of powerless to do anything about it. Like, I do remember, Shane, we had one friend when it happened, like, who was floored and shocked and very much like, I can't believe it. And I was like, you know, looking back at my response, it was a little bit too callous, but, like, and I don't think I said it exactly like this, but my thought was sort of like, well, yeah, like, of course this happened. Like, her first song was about needing to go to rehab real bad and not doing it. And like, yeah, we all saw this happen. So like, you can be sad, but don't be like shocked. It's, you know, but looking back, I was just early 20s and like, this is what I think. But like, you know, still nobody could do anything. Like, what do you, it's hard enough when someone is in your own life and your own circle to handle things like that.
She was so, she obviously probably worked her ass off, but she was also just such a natural talent that I remember there's a video. It's devastating where she is clearly either just on drugs or is just so out of it. She's on stage singing, but it's just gibberish.
Yeah.
Like, she's not saying any words. And she's still, like, you can just tell she's still just so good. Like, you're like, oh, wow, you are literally out of your mind right now.
Well, go watch the documentary. It's really good.
Yeah, I will. It's really well made. I just know it's going to break my heart again.
But it provides a very good insight into, like, who she was as an artist and how she surrounded herself with people that didn't really have her best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm. So sad.
And the dangers of that when you have, when there's so much money to be made and you're a fragile person.
Right. You know?
It's sad.
Anyway, on to happier things. Number four.
So this one comes in for other personal reasons too. I remember when I was a youngin', if I ever had to go over to a house with my parents for like some kind of house party or whatever, and they're like, oh, they've got a kid too, go play with them. And the kid was a little bit older, or my like friend had like a teenage brother or something like that. They would always have a very specific album that I wasn't allowed to listen to. It's like, you're not to listen to that music. And so when I discovered it on my own as a teenager, I really liked it. It was like a rebellious phase where I'm like, I'm finally old enough to listen to this and all that stuff. And that is the band The Offspring. If you grew up in the 90s, The Offspring was this like awesome, what would you even describe them as? Like grunge, I guess? They'd be like, they were coming out of the grunge phase a little bit and were like very energetic.
I'd say it's like pop punk.
I wouldn't say it's pop. Would you? Would you say it's pop? Maybe.
Pop punk.
It's like punky, grungy, whatever. But yeah. They had two albums at that time that I really liked, Americana and Smash. Mm. And they were great. They were just like angry suburban kid, you know, teenager
Welcome
music.
Welcome to Americana.
Yeah. One and two and three and four and one. Yeah. But it was like really fast, like thrashy electric guitar. And I just loved it. I don't know. That was for me just the moment of like, yes, I have become a teenager. No one can tell me what music not to listen to. And yeah, I'm mad at my suburban life too. Ha ha ha. Every album that I'm listening to today are like literally the only ones that I can listen to front to back and be like, yeah, this is a good album. So Smash and Americana are both great.
Yeah, my sister listened to a lot of Offspring, so then I in turn listened.
Was it your older sister?
Yes.
That is the exact same thing that happens. So like, I feel like we all have that shared experience. The other one, and this is not in my top five, but the other one that influenced me a lot because my sister listened to it was Rob Zombie.
Wow.
I really liked Dragula and Super Beast. Those were awesome songs that I listened to when my age was still in single digits, and therefore I should not have been listening to it. But
I don't think I've ever listened to Rob Zombie.
It's cool, actually.
Yeah.
I try to think of Rob Zombie, but I immediately think of Power Man 5000. It's just a lot of like,
yeah, exactly.
Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's got really like chugging guitars.
Dragula is literally about the car that was driven by the Munsters in that like old family sitcom. It was called the Dragula because it's like drag racing. So
Number four.
All right. I'm rearranging like crazy here. I'm going to give a shout out actually to really the first time I started to pay attention to music at all, which of course was being introduced by my brother. Who I tried to copy my brother in every sort of way when I was young, just because I thought everything he did was cool. He would play Final Fantasy games, and I would be like, oh, these are the coolest games. Only the cool people play these. And he would listen to a ton of NoFX. NoFX. And just a shout out also to just punk rock and ska in general from the late 90s, early 2000s. And I'm also going to include Tenacious D in this as well. Mm. Just that era of like music. NoFX isn't really my style of music in general. I'm not a huge punk fan, but back then I wanted to be like my brother and he listened to a ton of it. And so that was one of my first, The War on Errorism was the first album I ever bought. And it was, you know, it was crazy. Like it was a bunch of music just like talking crap about the government and like everything. Yeah. And I didn't really know, you know, I was so young, but they have a song about like how the idiots, it's called like the idiots are taking over. And it's, I don't know, like probably a lot of it's not okay, but I haven't listened to it in a long time.
Well, they started it in the 80s. So like,
yeah.
Different and it's time.
Also, yeah, I think they even got in trouble like in the past few years for something they did at a live show. I can't remember, but I mean like, yeah, it was intense for then. So I can only imagine if I re-listened to it, but I don't know, just getting in my brother's old Honda Civic, just super, because I would go and hang out with my brother while he worked at a summer camp. And so I would go with him to work and getting in his car, it's in Arizona, so the car would be super, super hot. You'd get in, and I mean, as soon as he turned the car on, music was so loud. It was just blasting punk music immediately.
I think that was an older sibling thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh my God. It was so loud. Mm. So brutally loud. And this music, like punk rock music blasting is a lot.
That's how you have to, that's the level you have to play punk rock music at. Yeah. You have to play it full blast.
You don't even get to hear half the notes unless you got this thing cranked up to 11.
You
got to
blow out the speaker. So there's like,
you have to be bleeding out of your ears. Because otherwise, quiet punk music, not good.
Uh-uh. No, it might as well be Chopin.
Yeah.
And Tenacious D, I don't know. It was, I also listened to a ton of it back when I was in middle school. I thought that shit was so funny. The McDonald's, the drive-through bit, I died. When I was driving along, my brother was driving, that bit came on, and I remember laughing so hard, thinking it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life. There you go.
Nice. Number four.
Okay, so Linkin Park introduced music with screaming in it.
They were the first ones.
The very first people to ever scream on a track. But this was the band that cemented my fandom into the world of screamo music.
Mm.
And that band is Under Oath.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I know this band.
They were a Christian screamo band. Had no idea they were Christian until you get to like their 11th track. And like what was like screamo music, it's suddenly like, Jesus. And you're like, huh?
Yeah.
Where did this come from? But Under Oath, their album, They're Only Chasing Safety, which has like one of the most recognizable album covers of that like era. It's like that woman with like the oxygen mask on her face. That's the band that got me into that sort of scene.
That's so interesting. So was your like hometown where you grew up, were they particularly religious?
No.
That's so funny.
I wouldn't say so.
Because I didn't know other people would know that. Because I'm from Georgia in an area that was, in general, very religious. My family didn't really practice anything. So that would sort of made us an outlier a bit. And sorry to like hijack your topic. But I remember it would always be the thing that like slightly older by like 1 or 2 year teenagers would cite as what they've been listening to sort of sound like super cool. And they'd also try to convince you that it was just as cool as any other screamo band. So it'd be like, yeah, I've been listening to like a lot of Under Oath. It's Christian scream metal. It's pretty cool. Like, I think you'd like it a lot. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it was, I just have so many conversations in my mind that went exactly that way.
Yeah. We like the live music scene in Sacramento was pretty good. We had a lot of venues, a lot of small venues, and several of those venues were churches.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were churches that had like an auditorium to the side. So there's a lot of these like screamo bands that would come through, and they would have to, I think they even had like kind of sometimes censor if they weren't like a Christian band that weren't already censored, they would have to like censor themselves a little bit in order to be allowed to play there.
Can you throw in a couple Jesuses in there? Couple praise gods.
Yeah.
So, it's the same thing with like System of a Down too, because I wouldn't say they're necessarily Christian, or I don't know, but like there are so many nods in there about like, it's like, System Father something, Father help me. Like that's not a real lyric, but it's, there are always these moments of like, you know, I cry when angels deserve to die. Wouldn't that be in reference to Lucifer, therefore pushing away Satanism? Like, I think there's a lot of winks in there of like, I don't know if they're a Christian band, but it seems like the Christian member. Like,
well, Creed, I didn't know that Creed was a Christian band. Oh
yeah, Creed is Christian.
I had no idea. So like, I think a lot of bands from that era actually were, because Christian Switchfoot? Rock was-
Switchfoot?
No, oh, Switchfoot.
Switchfoot, definitely.
Yeah, a lot from that era, I think, probably was.
But yeah, so that's my number four.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So how about let's get to number three.
Number three. Oh, man, it's tricky. Number three was the weird slot for me because I'm actually remembering things as we're talking about stuff, too. So I'm going to do two very dissimilar albums that, once again, I started to enjoy when I was a teenager, and it's when my musical choices started to diverge, or there were, like, sounds that I always enjoyed that I'm like, oh, people apply them in this way. So the two artist/albums are Weird Al Running with Scissors and Flogging Molly, all of their stuff. Weird Al Running with Scissors was, you know, some of the first parody music I'd ever heard, and I always loved comedy as a kid, so I was like, whoa, like, you can do these two things together and he's allowed to record like this. It definitely sparked a bunch of inspiration for me. I ended up doing a lot of musical improv back home at that improv studio I used to work with. Shout out to Whole World Theater in Atlanta. You know, Weird Al definitely was a huge influence on me there. And then Flogging Molly, for anyone who doesn't know, is like very like Irish piratey, like punk rock. Now, like, I just listen to Celtic music, you know, style music whenever I can, little jigs and reels or whatever. If I'm ever crafting like with leather, that's what I'll do. But it just sort of was like, you know, getting me out of pop and being into like, what about Irish folk and what about comedy? And
was it Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys that had that really famous one? That
Dropkick
Murphy, yeah.
The one that from the Departed?
Yeah. Dropkick Murphys.
Shipping Out to Boston, yeah, is the
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever listened to Flogging Molly. And I heard a lot about them back in the day because I remember there was shirts. They had their shirts were sold at like Hot Topic,
yes,
and stuff.
Yeah. Like when you're talking about like Dropkick Murphys, Flogging Molly, I always combine them with like NoFX and stuff because it seemed like the same people that I was growing up with, like the rocker kids, mm-hmm, all listened to like those like three bands.
Angry music was really in. Like music was angry because rap was angry, rock was angry, yeah, there was punk,
you had Korn,
everything was really angry, Rick.
Slipknot.
Everything seems to go from angry to sad. That's the natural course for a genre. So it's like what you're seeing now with like rap. Like rap during 50 Cent's era was literally like, you know, what the Karens of the day, like, you know, were like, it's so violent, I don't like, it's so scary. And now we have like these sad emo rappers basically, and like they're going through that phase. So this was the rock version of that. You went from angry to like angry sad, and like that's where I live, right in that middle.
Because I was trying to listen to like the hot rap right now. You know how Spotify has like Rap Caviar?
Oh yeah. Mm. Can often be really good.
And there was like a song on there that was like literally the rappers talking about having PTSD.
Yeah.
Oh
man.
My gosh.
A lot of it's really sad.
And I'm like, this is so funny because like the sort of like the hip hop that like I grew up on was like about being like as tough as possible, and like
I love it honestly. It's
I
crazy.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just funny, like how it's changed.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never would have thought that like screamo stuff and rap would end up combining like it has.
Yeah.
Lil Peep and Juice WRLD and stuff like
Triple X Temptation or whatever.
Yeah, Juice WRLD was literally like he's basically screamo. Like it was almost. I mean, I'm not a music expert, but to my ears, I was like, oh, this really sounds similar to that.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
They fill the same role for sure. I think it's, you know, calling out to the youth that want something more or are looking around their surroundings and feeling like it's bleak. That's where the angry style music comes from, I think. But like after the anger has been a thing for a while and you still don't see something change, that's when it feels hopeless and you're singing about the sadness and the feelings and that's just sort of been my thought on it. Like I said, I don't listen to music much, so I don't know.
All right. Shane, number three.
All right. I'm going to go with a combo here. And this is kind of a shout out to the music that I was really raised on. This combo, I'm going to give it to my two faves, is Stevie Wonder and Hall & Oates.
That's great.
Because growing up, my parents listened to mainly 70s and 80s, like Motown, R&B, disco music, a lot of that. That's like
tight. That's what I would want to listen to.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's the stuff they listen to it and said my parents still only like the 80s ended and they were like, "You know what? We're done. We're done with new music. Mm-hmm. We've found all the music we want. We're going to listen to Earth, Wind & Fire, Casey and the Sunshine Band."
So good.
Hall & Oates, the Pointer Sisters. They're just like, we're sticking with all these. We're good.
You and I have bonded over that before, Shane, about how similar our lives are. I mean, we found out on a recent podcast that we are both like in Willy Wonka in a play at the same time, but like also our moms love the Pointer Sisters.
You guys could say this for your best friends podcast.
But I'm bringing up the
Pointer Sisters. It's music.
It's music. Pointer Sisters. Our moms both like Pointer Sisters. That's all I want to say, Ethan.
Yeah. My parents they love disco music. Like it's, and I'll be honest, I'll take a stand here that to me, I do think disco, like that era of music is overall the best. Like anything from that genre, from that era, I like most of. And actually,
I listen to a lot of music that has a lot of disco influence.
Oh, yeah. I just like I love a beat. Disco. Love a beat. I need a beat involved in most songs, especially that bass beat, you know, like there. The newest genre of music that I've discovered recently that I love and can listen to almost any of it is city pop, which is 80s Japanese music.
What? I want it.
70s and 80s Japanese music. And it's called city pop because people would have stereos out on the streets and it would be playing this type of music. So they're called, city pop. But it's basically, it sounds like American 70s pop music, but just in Japanese.
That's cool. Awesome. That's all I've ever wanted in my life.
It's kind of like, I love finding, dude, because, you know, K-pop and all this stuff is becoming so popular now, and it's great music, but I started listening to K-pop too, and I was like finding all these songs that I loved, and they were all from the 90s or early 2000s because they literally sound like NSYNC. It's just Korean versions of NSYNC and all that stuff. So you get to listen to that same genre of music that we loved, but just a bunch of new stuff. It's awesome.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. All right.
Hell yeah.
Well, moving us right along because I don't want to waste too much time before we
get to don't waste any time on Shane's turn. No way.
No, never. Oh, is it my turn? Okay. Mm-hmm. Number three. This I put on here because, well, I'll just say it. It's the Used self-titled album.
Oh,
I don't know them.
The Used.
Yes, yeah, I know them. Yeah,
because if you, I guarantee you, put on the Used, and you will realize every single song is a mother flipping banger.
Really, the Used? I'll look it up.
I've listened to the Used that much.
Every song is a banger. Literally, really? When this song came out, almost every song was playing on the radio. So I just got to give a shout out to The Used.
I'm learning some stuff.
Hell yeah.
And then they have like, they were one of the people that did like the secret track at the end, you know, have you wait like an extra long time. And I think it was like audio of like some old English hooker that they purchased to sing happy birthday to the singer.
Oh.
And yeah.
That sounds about right for that era.
Yeah.
Something they would do.
Yep.
Oh my God.
But yep, that's my number three. Now let's go to number two.
Nummer zwei. All right. This one is college years, where a genre that I used to like and nobody else liked then became popular again. Or maybe it was just I didn't know about it and it was popular the whole time. I don't know. That's how it goes. But what, Shane?
I'm just laughing at you being like, Party Rock Anthem.
Party Rock Anthem. LMFAO took the world by storm. And no. So I always loved electronic music. I always loved dance music. But there was never really a thing for me that I at least knew about beyond Eiffel 65. And, you know, things were popular like the Chemical Brothers or Basement Jacks or whatever. But I didn't really care for those. It didn't really hit the same. One of the first ones I heard in college that I was just like, oh, my God, this album is so beautifully orchestrated. You listen to it front to back. All the songs bleed into each other. It's all one cohesive unit. And it's experiential. There's notes that you don't even realize you're hearing until you go back and listen again. It's Spectrum by Zedd. It's so good. I like, it's almost entirely instrumental. And like, I remember hearing it and like not being influenced by drugs and alcohol at all, just by myself hearing it. I like heard some of the orchestration and like at one point I didn't expect the bass line went down as like the tenor parts went up and I like teared up and I was like, oh my God, like how are they instilling these emotions from just notes? Like no lyrics, no nothing. Like it just hit me so hard. Love it so much. Zedd continues to make awesome stuff. He sort of moved on from, he used to do everything in like a minor key. And I think that's what set him different, set him apart. And he sort of moved on from that a bit, but I still really enjoy what he puts out.
Yeah. Those types of artists, I don't know what you'd necessarily, I don't know what they're necessarily called. Just electronic, just
electronic music.
I think there's like 50 subgenres of dance electronic.
There's all sorts. Because it's not dubstep, it's not whatever.
It's like house. You consider it like house.
There's so many different names, and I don't
main
know.
Main stage or main floor, whatever.
I have a lot of respect for it, and it's really dope. When you find usually for me with that type of music, I'll eventually a single song will come on my radar that I'll just listen to over and over again because there's so much going on in those songs. Like, there'll just be that one Calvin Harris song that you'll be like, oh my God, this is insane.
Yeah. And his album, Waiting for. I forget the name, but like Calvin Harris's first album is also a banger. I have to add in a tie to this that I totally forgot about, but Shane, you introduced me to them and they're also electro. This is electro swing, Caravan Palace. Caravan Palace, top notch. Combining electro and swing, nothing better. So Zedd and Caravan Palace were the anthem of my college
years. That category, because Caravan Palace and there's also Parov Stellar are so interesting and so good. For those listening, go listen to Caravan Palace. That stuff is nuts.
So good.
Give it a shot.
They had a song trend on TikTok too, so you might have already heard
it. It's you know what it sounds, you know what Caravan Palace is? It sounds like steampunk.
Yes.
It sounds like it's a world that only robots live in.
Okay,
and
now you're making me less interested.
Oh no, it's so cool.
It's sort of like how Fallout the game takes like, all right, technology went to the 50s and then we got stuck there, but everything's still kind of futuristic. That's the song.
Yeah,
like,
it's super cool. I'm going to go with probably my most recent musical craze. The person I just have thought is just so dope. Janelle Monáe.
Knew it.
This is very recent. This past couple of years that I've started to really listen. I listened to all of her albums and her whole thing is that she's built this whole universe with her albums. She's telling a singular story with it all.
Oh, that's cool.
Very complicated, very crazy, and very like
she's like an android, right?
Yeah, it's basically it's a world where it's like she's trying to tell a story about how androids are discriminated against, and there's clearly a lot of real world comparisons. It's very deep and very cool, but also just her music is just so different. Like I can't find anything like it, and she's so talented because her voice is incredible, but she'll also rap and so much going on.
I've seen a lot of people say like compared to like Prince, like she has a lot of influence.
Sure,
man.
Sure,
you're doing well if people are comparing you to Prince at all.
Like, yeah, like of course she gained inspiration from someone. Of course, it's like there's no such thing as I've done something that nobody has done before. But listening to all of her music and listening to Prince, there's still a difference. And she's definitely like I don't know. She is. If I had to say, if I thought anyone was the prince of our era, I would pick her just because she's bending it all. She's twisting like the image to something that nobody can really like put a label on. Yeah, I don't know. I dig her style and her persona and everything. I really like the stuff she makes. It to me is like, you know, I listen to a lot of music. I'm like, oh, this is great music. But her stuff, I'm like, this is like art. This is
hell
really
yeah.
cool. So.
Yeah. You've sold me. I'm going to listen to her right after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only heard a couple songs.
Her album, my favorite of hers is not her most recent one, but the one before it. I think it's called The Electric Lady. I don't remember the title of the album, but it's dope.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It's dope.
I do have something here as number two, but I was thinking a little bit more about it because I feel like I've just been doing a lot of throwbacks. because I'm trying to think of like, oh, what like shaped me? But one album that shaped my moving to Los Angeles and my life in Los Angeles, Tame Impala, baby.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
Tame Impala, Currents, that album, hot dang.
Yeah.
That's a tight album.
They just came out with a new one, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, their stuff is awesome. I had never heard Tame Impala.
It's a guy.
Is it just a single guy, or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he tours with the band, but he writes all the music. And,
oh wow, he's legendary. I remember I had never heard or seen anything by Tame Impala until we were all in the office. This is way back. This is like in 2015, 2016, and someone put on "The Less I Know, the Better" on the TV screen. And that's the first time I ever heard that song is through the music video.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
I remember immediately just being like, like it's one of the best songs ever made. Like, The Less I Know, the Better is one
and
of the
it
best
has,
songs
and ever it made. Has, and it has like layers. Like, it's not just the same song over and over again. Like, it breaks down to that like bass riff.
Damien, you've definitely heard The Less I Know, the Better. You've definitely heard it.
Probably, but you're saying that you didn't even hear it until you got into the office and someone put it on. Maybe I haven't.
But this was 5 years ago, though. Like, it's played on. This is played. It's played on TikToks. Yeah. It's played all over. Like, you'll hear the beat and you'll be like, "Oh, I've heard this." But I still recommend going and finding the music video and watching
the music video is pretty sweet.
I've got a bunch of tabs open here of stuff to watch.
Tame Impala is my number two. I was gonna say, another throwback to the Screamo days. A Day to Remember, who was like just a super generic like hardcore screamo band, but like they had the sickest breakdowns. They did a metal cover to Kelly Clarkson's "Since You've Been Gone," and it's actually like
good,
pretty awesome. But that brings us to number one.
Are we doing? Do we have time for honorable mentions?
I think just do them quickly. Like, we won't comment on them.
Two quick honorable mentions are Rise Against, which goes well with your theming right now, Ian, and also Queen in general. I feel like a silly goose quoting a greatest hits album, but their greatest hits album is perfect, and I used to listen to it all the way through in my car all the time.
Sure, Queen's one of the greatest.
Some honorable mentions are James Taylor, Tyler, the Creator, Gwen Stefani / No Doubt, Caravan Palace, obviously, Florence and the Machine, Rolling Stones, and Weezer. I'm sure there's a million more because I listen to a lot of music, but those are the ones that come to mind.
My honorable mention goes to Oscar winner 3-6 Mafia.
Nice.
I have to add one more honorable mention. I'm sorry. Gesu no Kiwami Otome is like the only Japanese band whose name I know, and I just love them.
Sorry. I actually do have to give another honorable mention.
Oh,
and this one's probably, I'm going to be real honest, this one might be my most listened to genre of music, and that is
video game
soundtracks.
Yes! Yes! And anime openings, but yes.
Video game soundtracks, man. I find some, and I just keep listening to them.
What's your top one?
Probably Final Fantasy VII. Probably. But
7 or 12?
7.
Okay. Because I know you like 12.
I do like 12, but 7's just got such... There's just... Dude, some of those battle music is just so good. Especially when you're working out.
Yes! It's killer. I used to do that as a kid all the time. Nobuo Uematsu was the composer, and he did 7 and 8, and I always listened to those soundtracks.
But the Undertale soundtrack... And especially if you find good remixes of Undertale music, super dope.
Now on to number one.
Numa eins. All right. So this goes back to those teenage years. It's what albums can I always listen to, even put on nowadays, and they still just slap. And they're definitely in a very similar genre. They are My Chemical Romance, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, and Panic at the Disco, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
Wow, Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. Every single song is a masterpiece. So good. So good, so different from one another. And I don't even necessarily listen to the album all the way through. I'll listen to a song, think to myself, damn, that was good. Listen to it on repeat 4 or 5 times and then move on to the next song in the album. Like, you just want to consume. It's the kind of album that I would just put on with my actual like Discman CD player on the bus as a kid, just all the way through over and over and over and over again.
Wow.
So nice. Good.
Hell yeah. My Chemical Romance is just legendary.
They are. Mm.
I remember there was that period of time where Black Parade was just number one, and you were kind of like, it's going to be number one forever.
Yep.
Like, it was just never falling.
Yeah, it's an anthem. Everybody needs an anthem.
That E key, right? Shane, number one.
All right. Okay, so that's a tie. I can just do it between two albums that I think are just like ones I can listen to over and over. Sublime, self-titled album.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, it's hard not to say this could be the best album of all time. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
I've talked about, because Fleetwood Mac, I know we did Two Truths and a Lie, and Fleetwood Mac was my favorite. The problem is my favorite band changes all the time. At one moment I'll be like, oh, it's Sublime. And then I'll be like, it's Fleetwood Mac, whatever. But that's why those two take one. What is it, Ian?
Fleetwood Mac is so good. Oh, is that also your first?
I have Fleetwood Mac's Rumors as my number one.
Yes!
What?
Dude, it's the best album.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah. Again, every song is a banger, mm-hmm. but also when you learn about
the making of,
when you learn about the making of it, mm-hmm. it is freaking insane. I wrote it down a little bit because I just wanted to get it right. So there's five people in the band. Stevie Nicks just split with Lindsey Buckingham. And then there was Christine and John McVie. They were together. Oh, they were divorcing. And then Mick Fleetwood, his marriage was shaky. And then he later on goes to have an affair with Stevie Nicks. But in while they are recording this song, and by the way, there's multiple songwriters, like Stevie Nicks and Lindsey both wrote songs for this album, and they both basically wrote like breakup songs to each other, and they're both kind of like fuck yous to each other. And like, I grew up listening to it, not even understanding what it was about.
Yeah,
but wow, it's crazy. It's like Go Your Own Way is literally him just kind of. So here's the lyrics. Tell me why everything turned around. Packing up, shacking up is all you want to do. Basically wow. saying, I mean, you can interpret that as being like, oh, you just want to sleep with people. That's all mm-hmm. you want to do.
There's probably so much, because also don't break the chain is another mm-hmm. one. And I'm yeah. curious, like that has to be doing something.
And then, yeah. And then, wow. and then she wrote a song about him, and that was Dreams, which actually ended up being they're only number one.
That's a power said, move to write a song that your ex has to sing.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, now here's your section where you say, and I'm a cheating piece of crap. Like, you know.
And then you go around and tour and sing that song every night.
couldn't do it. Good God.
Yeah. Thunder only happens when it's raining. Players only love you when they're playing.
Yeah.
Which is a double entendre.
Whoa.
Because it's calling him a player, but also a musical player only loving her when they're making music.
Wow.
And not outside.
God, it's so, dude, it goes down forever. Yeah, all of those songs are still hits. So many songs from that album are played constantly still, and it's been dude, so long.
It's so good. I copied this one quote from Stevie Nicks. She said, so then I wrote Dreams, and because I'm the chiffony, I guess that's some kind of word, chick who believes in fairies and angels, and Lindsey is a hardcore guy, it comes out differently. Lindsey is saying, go ahead and date other men and go live your crappy life, and I'm singing about rain washing you clean. We were coming at it from opposite angles, but we were really saying the same exact thing.
Wow, that's so interesting.
There's a meme of, it's a photo of a guy eating a burger. He's at McDonald's. A guy just casually eating a burger while a brutal fight is happening in the McDonald's behind him. And it's the caption over the people fighting is Fleetwood Mac making Rumors. And then the guy eating the burger just says, me listening to Rumors.
Yeah.
It's that's so good.
So funny. What are the odds that you both have that at number one? That's insane. We have
talked about Fleetwood about maybe a Rumors. Little bit. I remember you started singing a song about me sitting in the corner, and you would use the ballad from The Chain. Sitting in the corner, like it's just
so
oh
good.
Yeah,
damn.
Incredible. And the making of it, and just the damn. Fact that they just had
we didn't
a tea
even
session.
We haven't even mentioned Landslide, which I think is a different album, but
it is
still yeah. the fact that you have that album be so good, and your most legendary song is on another album. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Come on.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Like everyone's just sleeping with each other and they're all writing these shit talking songs about each other and they all crazy famous for it.
One day
have to sing it for 40 years.
Can you imagine when we're like 80 and there's like behind the scenes and just like, yeah, at that point, Ian and I had been sleeping together for about 15 years. And that's when we made hot dog Tinder for hot dogs. Yeah.
The reason Tinder for hot dogs was so legendary is because we were all fucking and fighting behind the scenes.
You couldn't understand the double entendre of the hot dog being selected on Tinder was for Shane's relationship with Tim.
Basically saying if literally anything came along, even if it wasn't a person, I would swipe right on it instead of you, Tim.
Exactly. Exactly.
Guys, this has all been very illuminating, but we can't end this list without a shoot dude.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Shoot dude.
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 Oh, I'm here to be the shoot dude skeptic, and I'm going to tell you if I think it's BS.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
Right. Well, this one comes from Elizabeth. And she says, okay, here's the story. I was walking around at the mall when somebody stepped on the heel of my shoe and a part of the sole of my shoe came loose. I could still walk around, but it was just very annoying. Mm-hmm. I decided to walk into an arts and crafts store and buy some quick drying super glue to fix it. I bought the glue, explained the situation, and they allowed me to sit down and fix my shoe in the store. Instead of taking off my shoe though, I figured, why would I? So I just put a load of glue on the part of the sole that had come off and decided to stand up as to put pressure on the glue so it would dry correctly. What I didn't realize was that I had put too much glue on my shoe and it dripped down the sides and ended up underneath the sole of my shoe. It took me a minute or so before I realized I had glued myself to the carpeted floor of a store. At this point, the owner of the store started to look at me weirdly. So I did all I could think to do. I tugged my foot off the carpet so forcefully it came loose and I ran out. I could actually see the footprint on the carpet. Running out by itself would have been embarrassing, but the whole ordeal ripped the sole of my shoe even further. Only the toe part of the sole was still attached. So they could clearly hear me running as every step I took made this ridiculous slapping sound. It honestly sounded like I was wearing a pair of swimming fins. Also, if Damien reads this, I swear I didn't make this up. I am really that much of an idiot sometimes.
Oh my God.
Now, I legit believe this one.
I believe this one too.
This is very believable.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's... The truth is stranger than fiction as well. And this is also the most normal of any of the ones we've had recently. No, that's a definite. I mean, for me, it's got to be a shoot, dude.
That's a shoot, dude.
That's a shoot, dude.
That's for sure a shoot, dude.
Shoot, dude.
That's a bummer. Shoot.
Because the thing happened to you and it was not your fault. I mean, the heel thing at first. But then, like, the store was kind to let you sit there and fix your shoe, and then you kind of screw them over, but not intentionally. And like, I think anybody would have made the choice to just bolt. It's just I almost said a sticky situation, but it is.
I guess you could say that's a shoe, dude.
Nice. She was not very crafty.
Oh, that hurts me right to the very soul. But I guess that joke would have to be tongue in cheek. All right, guys, let's slow down. It's not a lace.
Guys, you're
I think she was in a Louis Vuitton of trouble. If it attached her to her skin and actually made her tear it off, then those would have been some real red bottoms.
That's definitely soul crushing.
I said that.
I already said that like earlier. I even said that before you, Ian. I said it before you. I said it
God.
The best. I do the fastest and the most and the loudest. God. And my house has 100 bathrooms. I can do 1,000 sit-ups.
So you're gonna brag about how many bathrooms you have in the
house. I have 100 bathrooms. I can do 1,000 sit-ups.
My
mom owns Nintendo and she's the boss of Nintendo.
So enough about that. Thank you guys so much for indulging me on your wonderful list of music. I'm going to take a trip down music lane. What was that one band you wanted me to listen to? Caravan Palace.
Fergie.
Caravan Palace. Not Fergie. Never Fergie.
Fergie, the woman that peed herself on stage?
One of the many.
Come on.
Ian, if you're going to make fun of a woman, at least make fun of her for her terrible music.
Okay. No,
that's right. No, you're
right. Damn. So bad. I'm sorry. Am I dropping news for everybody? Maybe you haven't heard her songs. But she tells you herself very subtly in every song.
I haven't talked to Damien in 10 years about Fergie. And the last conversation I had with him 10 years ago was about how much he hated Fergie. I'm glad that opinion has not
bad.
Changed. That opinion
is
not
bad.
Changed.
Well, maybe the two of you guys can get together next time and talk about your hatred of Fergie.
Okay. I would like that.
All right.
Tune in next week when Jamie and I talk about Fergie.
Everyone, this was Ian, Shane, and Damien, and that was our first. That was our top five music albums. The
nailed
influence
it.
Songs.
That's right.
If you want to send us a Shoot Dude, you can send Shoot Dudes to Shoot Dude. That's SHOOTDOOD at Smosh.com. Rate us 5 stars on your favorite listening platform and even your least favorite listening platform, and write a review and say funny ha ha hoo 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 Fleetwood Mac the best. Yeah. We'll see you guys next time. Okay.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.